WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in the third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And of course, it is tax day, but we are also just days away from the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's historic ride. That's right. The entire start of the American Revolution hinged upon this ride. And joining us to talk about some of the festivities planned to observe that is Nikki Stewart, the executive director of Old North Illuminated. Good morning, Nikki. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. And before we get into Paul Revere, talk with us a little bit about Old North Illuminated and what the organization is all about.
Old North Illuminated is the nonprofit that manages education, tourism, and preservation at Old North Church and Historic Site. It is still an active Episcopal church today as well. So we are on the historic site side of the house.
I find it interesting how both are able to coexist there. I mean, it's not a surprise considering, you know, the value of that both as a church and as a historic site. But how does that work, the combination of it being a place where people are still going there to actively worship, but people are also going there to learn more about American history?
Yeah, well, I always say that Old North Illuminated operates a museum and a church, and Christ Church operates a church and a museum. And this week, you know, it's particularly special. We have the 250th anniversary of the lantern signals, and it's Holy Week, and Sunday is Easter. So it's a big week for everyone at Old North.
Man, the British really did time it right to help us out here when we came up 250
Perfect.
Years later. Yeah.
Perfect.
So talk with us about some of the things that are planned for this, because this is going to be a celebration of history like nothing we've ever seen.
Absolutely. I mean, Friday night is going to be a really special night of commemorations, really throughout the North End and Charlestown. We're thinking of it kind of as a first night of the Revolution. So folks will be able to hop in and hop out. I am particularly excited for the programming at the Paul Revere House. We're starting at 5:30. Folks can see Paul and Rachel getting ready for the ride and think about, you know, what this incredibly dangerous mission meant for his family, right? His wife, his seven children who are in the house. At 6:30, we have an event with the City of Boston on the Prado or the Paul Revere Mall. We'll be doing a table read of our play Revolution's Edge. Boston will launch the Boston 250 brand with the mayor and the lieutenant governor. And then, you know, we hope folks will head over to Langone Park or maybe over to Charlestown to watch a drone show over the harbor at 8:30. And then, of course, Revere will be rowed across the water into Charlestown. He will get on his horse at the Deacon Larkin House, and then there'll be a lot of fun tavern festivities after that.
And so this is going to be, you know, very similar to, well, as much as we know about the exact route that Paul Revere would have followed and what it would have been like at that time in colonial Boston of that time period.
Yeah, we're doing it as close as we can. You know, Revere did it pretty late in the night. So, you know, we all have bedtimes, but it'll be a little earlier in the day, but as accurate as we can be. You know, that's why, for example, he'll be walking in the North End. He'll walk from his house to the Coast Guard station where he'll get in the boat, because again, he didn't pick up the horse until the other side. And also, you know, he'll be quiet. He's not going to be walking through the North End with a parade of huzzas, right? He's trying not to get captured. He's committing an act of treason. So we're going to try to be quiet and keep his secret for him.
Well, you mentioned it happened later in the night. So was it truly a midnight ride, or is that a little bit of poetic license from Longfellow?
I believe he was riding in the midnight hour. That wasn't the start of his ride, but definitely he was riding past midnight. Yes.
And how much of what we think of as the romanticized, you know, Paul Revere story is compared to the truth? Because, you know, obviously a young country needs to have its heroes, and sometimes things might get exaggerated. But it seems like Paul Revere is one of those stories where it's always seemed to me like it was pretty close to what must have actually happened.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest misconception, the one that to me matters the most, is that in Longfellow's poem, Revere is painted as a lone actor, right? He is a hero on a pedestal. But, you know, historians may differ about how many riders were out that night, but it could have been as many as 40 riders throughout Middlesex County, right? Others leave Boston with him. He is dispatching more folks along the way. So, you know, launching a revolution really is a team effort. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're bound in community with the values we share and the commitments we make to each other.
And this is the kickoff to the 250th celebration of everything American Revolution. So I'm assuming that Old North Illuminated is going to have some other programming throughout the course of this year and beyond.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's really special that here in Boston or Massachusetts even, we get the beginning of the revolution, right? By the time the semi-quincentennial rolls around next July, our 250s have happened, right? We have launched a revolution and liberated ourselves. So I think that's great. We are doing actually a new exhibit this summer for children and families. It's going to be an archaeological exhibit that studies childhood in the North End throughout time. So we're really trying to make sure that, you know, for families, children who are coming out to historic sites during this period, maybe they wouldn't normally, we want to make sure they have a good time. And we want to make sure particularly that children have a good time and that they want to go back to other historic sites.
Right, because really that is something that I've noticed. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think that there was a time period when kids weren't really into history for a while. And it seems like these last couple of generations of kids have gotten super into history and they want to keep it alive. And they are the next stewards that are going to come in and keep places like the Old North Church going in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think it reflects the way we teach history is changing, because, you know, we used to learn it as just names and dates that you had to memorize for a test. And I think now history education is a lot more about storytelling. And that's what kids love, right? Adults love it, too. That's what's interesting.
And when you can make it come alive, we can actually see Paul Revere walking in front of you and experience him trying not to get caught and seeing him get on his horse and gallantly ride off to start warning everybody. I mean, that connects you back to something that is, you know, a true story, but also becomes something of legend as well.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's going to be so inspiring. And to see it on the actual 250th anniversary of the big night, I think it's just going to be so special.
And so much of these festivities that are happening on Friday night are all free and open to the public.
Yep. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Throughout the North End and Charlestown. So there are a lot of options to choose from.
So I guess one of the questions that will come up from some people in the audience, you know, Paul Revere walked this area. Is this something that's regularly accessible for people to be able to walk from site to site?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, here in the North End, the Paul Revere House, Old North Church are right on the Freedom Trail. And then folks will go right down Hanover Street, you know, past all the restaurants, will smell all the good smells, watch him get on the water at Langone Park. And then, you know, over in Charlestown, it's City Square. And I think it's going to be a super fun night in Charlestown.
And I like the way that it's going to end. It's going to end with the illumination of the Bunker Hill Monument, but with a special kind of lasting illumination to that as well.
Absolutely. You know, the 250th of Bunker Hill is just coming up in just a few more months.
So I think everybody should get out there for this. It's going to be fantastic. And, you know, we've got in New Bedford a connection to Paul Revere here. Revere Copper and Brass was here for a number of years. We have the Paul Revere neon sign that people actually get tattooed on them now and wear T-shirts of now. And I think that, you know, this is a community that definitely feels an affinity for Paul Revere. So I'm sure we'll all turn out and be there cheering him on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, Revere is a relatable person, right? He's the son of an immigrant. He is an artisan. He's a husband and a father. He learns all these trades to take care of his family. So I think there's a lot to be proud of with the New Bedford connection to Revere.
And if people wanted to just come to the Old North Church and experience the museum side of things, when are you usually open? When can people come by?
Yeah, right now we are open Tuesday through Sunday. And of course, folks can join us for worship on Sunday morning as well. And all of the hours, the tickets, the schedule for Friday night, it's at oldnorth.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm very excited about this, hoping to get out there for it, and hoping that this time around it still works out the same way as it did the first time, because otherwise we might be in trouble.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, bye.
That is Nikki Stewart, the executive director of Old North Illuminated. So excited for the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's ride and all of these things that are celebrating it. So I've got friends that are here that aren't, you know, that are from another state that this is, I haven't mentioned this to them yet, but I'm like, I've got a surprise for something we can do on Friday night that is going to be something like you can't do back home. So, and I think the other part of it too is, as we mentioned there with Nikki, seeing it happen, having the story told before your eyes gives you a much more connected feeling to it than even just watching a documentary or reading a book. I think it connects you to Paul Revere more than, you know, if there was just a presentation where they were talking about him. Seeing him and experiencing and being at the site where it happened. That's one thing that I've learned about history. And as a history nerd, knowing that I can go through places where things happened and get a new perspective on it has made all the difference in the world. So you can read, and I'll just use Lizzie Borden as an example. I'd heard my whole life about the Lizzie Borden murders, the murder of Andrew and Abby Borden. But it wasn't until I went into the house and saw where Mrs. Borden's body was found that I realized, oh, she would have seen this person coming at her. She would have seen them coming up the stairs. Like it gives you a new perspective. And being able to be there at the Old North Church and these other sites will give you a different perspective. Even if you've seen them, you know, if you've gone on the Freedom Trail and taken a tour, it's going to be completely different when you are there at the same time as Paul Revere gearing up for his ride. So very exciting. Oldnorth.com. You can find out more information. And again, almost everything is free. There is one ticketed event that I saw if you want to take part in it. Let me just bring that page back up again. There is a harbor cruise. The 2FBC Evening Harbor Cruise from Long Wharf. A one-hour cruise through Boston Harbor. And you can witness Paul Revere's legendary midnight crossing at Charlestown. That would be something that you'd be seeing from the boat. If you want to do that, that requires a ticket. But everything else, free. Everything else, just walk right up and take part. So really looking forward to it. Hoping to get out there and hope you will be there as well. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. We'll also take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We are still taking entries for our ticket giveaway to see Melissa Etheridge and Joss Stone at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. You can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. That is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They sponsor all of my ticket giveaways here. And of course, they are the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. But again, those tickets are standing room only. So keep that in mind. If you are going to enter to win, they will give you standing room only tickets, and you can't say, oh, but I need a seat, I have some health problems. It won't work. These are standing room only seats. So you need to know that before you enter to win. And you can do that at WBSM.com and on the app. And of course, you can also come to my window on Friday morning, starting at 7 a.m., from 7 to 9, anybody that comes to the window and holds up a sign or sings Melissa Etheridge or Joss Stone or wears a t-shirt or whatever you can do to show your fandom and that you want the tickets, I'll get your name and I will enter you into a select drawing of only the people that come to the window. And if nobody shows up, we'll just draw another name from the people that entered online. But we thought we'd have a little fun with this one. People say, oh, all of your contests are always, you know, just enter online. What if I don't want to enter online? Well, here's your chance. Come to my window. I'm not going to sing to you, but you can sing to me. And also, don't forget to, we're giving away $1,000 every day with Money Talks. And I know you're anxiously awaiting your first cash code of the day. And I think it's time for that right now. The air is getting hot. The beer is getting hot. And I couldn't play the Beastie Boys before I introduced Nikki Stewart to talk Paul Revere. So I played it afterwards. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. And of course, we'll be giving away in a little bit to South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. He's always got a great program planned for you, even on this rainy day. And even on this rainy day, you should be thinking about going solar, especially as you're opening up that electric bill from last month. Oh, I really hope you don't have electric heat because it's been so up and down. Oh, man. Who knows how many times you've turned that on when you meant to have it turned off. March 1st, I'm like, no more heat, but I have to keep turning the gas on. So if you have electric heat, I can only imagine. Right now, there's actually an Eversource van driving through the parking lot. It's like they know. They know that I'm going to be telling you about Isaacson Solar. They're on to me. If all of a sudden we get cut off, it's because they cut the power here, so I couldn't tell you about how Isaacson Solar can save you money on your electric bill. Isaacson Solar can make it, oh my God, what a the Isaacson truck just drove by. I swear to God. This is so weird. This is freaky. All right. It's a sign. It's a sign from above that you need to reach out to Isaacson Solar and go to isaacsonsolar.com. I-S-A-K-S-E-N. Isaacsonsolar.com. You could not get a better commercial than that right there. Oh, my God. And I'm only imagining the look that the Eversource van gave the Isaacson truck as it drove by. Oh, anyway. You could save money by going solar. You could get paid to go solar. Isaacson will explain it all to you when they give you simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions. I'm still blown away by this. I can't believe how that actually worked out. IsaacsonSolar.com. Listen, it's fate, right? You can't turn down fate. If you've been thinking about going solar, there's your sign. It is a sign. It is time to find out more. IsaacsonSolar.com. All right. Incredulously, I will now go to the newsroom with Mike Roberts to get all the top stories of the day.
An all-female space crew back on the ground, an earthquake in California, and the most desirable neighborhood in America.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The San Diego Zoo has released video showing a group of five elephants forming an alert circle during Monday's 5.2 earthquake. The elephants at the Safari Park, located near Escondido, formed a circle designed to protect the herd and younger elephants during the shaking. The zoo says all five elephants are safe and back to their normal routines. The trial of the so-called Doomsday Mom is entering its second week in Arizona. Lori Vallow, Daybell, accused of conspiring to kill her fourth husband in 2019 with the help of her brother. Yesterday, prosecutors played phone calls that she made to the insurance company to claim the death policy.
Was it a homicide?
No, it was an accident.
An accident. Okay.
Vallow Daybell is representing herself in the case. She was found guilty in Idaho in 2023 of murdering her two young children and conspiring to murder husband Chad Daybell's first wife. An all-female crew back on the ground after taking a rocket to the edge of space. Katy Perry and Gail King among six notables on board the Blue Origin flight. They were joined by Jeff Bezos' fiance and former journalist Lauren Sanchez, former NASA rocket scientist Aisha Bowie, and research scientist Amanda Nguyen, as well as movie producer Carrie-Anne Flynn. A former NCAA Woman of the Year is among six people killed in a plane crash in New York on Saturday.
The NTSB said the crash investigation is in its early stages.
It's important that the public have trust in the investigative process and that we've not only ruled in, but ruled out everything that could have been a contributing factor.
Former MIT soccer player and 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year Karenna Groff died in the crash, along with Groff's boyfriend, her father, mother, brother, and her brother's partner. The plane carrying the victims took off from White Plains and crashed near the Massachusetts border. I'm Lisa Taylor.
New York's Mayor Eric Adams visited the Dominican Republic yesterday to pay his respects for those who died during last week's nightclub roof collapse. Jonathan O'Halloran reports.
Mayor Adams visiting the site of the tragedy, flanked by members of his staff and Dominican officials, offering his support to the victims' families.
Your brother from America is here to be with you during this time. During crises and tragedies, families pray, families lift each other up, families hug each other. My visit today is my hug.
It comes as New York City's large Dominican population remains in mourning following the April 7th incident. Governor Hochul also in the city Monday, delivering remarks at a vigil in the Bronx for the victims.
Former President Joe Biden set to make his first public appearance since leaving the White House. He'll be speaking at a conference tonight in Chicago. The 82-year-old Biden is one of the keynote speakers at the Advocates, Counselors, and Representatives for the Disabled conference. This is Biden's first visit to Chicago since he spoke at the Democratic National Convention last August. A Brooklyn, New York neighborhood is the most in demand in the country. Redfin puts the Prospect Heights and Clinton Hill area on the top of its 2025 list of hot neighborhoods following a 105% spike in home sales from a year ago. Rounding up the top three hottest neighborhoods, Jenison, Michigan, and Captain Hills and St. Charles in Illinois.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox crushed by the Tampa Bay Rays last night, 16-1. Those two teams are back together tonight at 7. Bruins take on the Devils tonight at 7 o'clock. Major League Baseball, once again honoring the legacy of Jackie Robinson. Today is Jackie Robinson Day, marking the anniversary of the day he broke baseball's color barrier. Robinson debuted with the Brooklyn Dodgers April 15th, 1947. To honor the Hall of Famer, all players will wear his iconic number 42 in Dodger blue. Players, managers, coaches, and umpires will also wear a special 42 patch on the side of their caps. MLB established Jackie Robinson Day in 2004.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We are looking at more, not just clouds, but showers around as well this morning. Temperature is at least mild for this time of year. We're in the mid and upper 40s to start the day. And later today, we'll be in the upper 50s and low 60s across the South Coast. Not bad, not bad at all. But we do stay relatively cloudy in the afternoon, and showers and pockets of heavy rain come back as we move into the evening. So your commute home might be a touch soggy as well. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500 app chat and open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. And we were talking earlier about the South Coast Rail, another Sunday where people got stranded. They went to Boston and they couldn't get a ride home because they didn't have, they had staffing issues, according to Keolis, the organization that runs the MBTA. Again, staffing issues that they don't have enough people to be able to have the route covered. So they have to be trained in that route. They have to be certified in that route. And they don't have enough people. And I wonder if that is because, as has been suggested to me, it's because they actually started the service earlier than originally expected, in that they didn't have everybody trained up for it in time. And that had they started it in May, they wouldn't have had any issues. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's been floated to me as a possibility from people that that may be in the know. So I want to go on the train on the weekend, but I'm getting a little bit nervous about it. So we need some more assurances other than, yeah, we're working on getting more people trained. We need to know that this is not going to be a prolonged issue. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Busy day for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I just wanted to ask you now, you just made me think of another thing. So the Pauly there, what time is that happening?
It starts at 5:30. So it's basically 5:30 to 9:30 would cover everything. The last thing is the Bunker Hill Illumination. That's at 9:30.
Okay. But so they take you from that tour right to the Bunker Hill? You stay with that, or do you separate and have, like, how does that work?
No, I mean, it's all, as Nikki mentioned, it's all in the Freedom Trail, so it's all walkable.
All in the same thing.
So, I'm sure there's going to be large groups of people that are walking from one to the other, so you'll be with people, and you could take the train up. You could take the train to South Station, and
yeah, but
here, you're not that far.
I'm scared now. Because, like what you just said, what if we can't get home?
Well,
it's stuck in time.
It's only been Saturday and Sunday that's been the issue. So maybe on Friday night you'll be okay.
Oh, that's yeah, maybe. I mean, they can't even get it together on a weekday, though. So
well, I mean, so a lot of the times it's been that you've had to take a bus. So it's not like they left people totally stranded. That did happen the first week, and they had issues. They did leave people and said, "Hey, listen, we've canceled this train. Find an alternate route home." But this past weekend, they had buses that were transporting people to the Taunton station.
I'll call the mayor. I'll say, "Mayor, I'm stuck down here. You need to send me an Uber and pay for it."
And the mayor would say, oh, go right on that, Skitty.
Yeah, no, because like when you said that people were stuck in Fall River to New Bedford, I thought, oh, wow. So you know what? That got me thinking, too. How long is the training program, and like, does it have to be a full-time job? Can you work like 3 days a week, say somebody like me?
I don't know. I have no idea.
How do I find all this out, Tim?
You could reach out to the MBTA and find out.
Okay. So they have a number down here in New Bedford, or?
Well, I would just call their main line, but you could also reach out to, I mean, Chris, who else should you reach out to if you're looking to get a job with the MBTA?
Mark Montigny's office.
Yeah, he says call Mark Montigny's office. I let him say it. That's what I was thinking, but I was going to let Chris say it because then they won't get mad if Chris says it. They like him.
Yeah, because you know what? I wouldn't mind 3 days a week, though.
That staff will tell you how to do it. They won't get you.
Yeah. They'll tell you how to do it. They'll tell you who to contact.
How to do it and everything. Yeah, because I wouldn't mind, like I was saying, 3 days a week. I'm not the 4 o'clock train, no way. But I would do like the afternoon, late day where people, like where they're having trouble. It seems like more midday and stuff.
I don't know, Skye. I don't know if they're going to let you be that picky about your hours to work for the MBTA.
Yeah, well, it would only happen. I can't because I'll be in a different tax bracket. I'm only getting $226 back as it is this year. That's why I'm trying to find a good job. I wouldn't mind doing that, though. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't care. That would be, I could do that. Some people say, how can you look at the same thing? Well, bus drivers do it all day.
Trembly Bus is hiring. You could go work for Trembly Bus.
No, I don't want to do that. No.
She's like, no, I don't want to hear screaming kids while I'm trying to work.
No, well, because it's a whole different generation. And I don't even think you can play music on the bus like they did back in the day when I was a kid and when you were a kid. When I was younger, yeah, they had the radio, everything. But I don't even think that's allowed now. But so that was because I got my train of thought got so put off.
No pun intended.
I'm not going to talk about the wine, the crybaby. That's news. So the power of their staff, somebody did give me some copper 32 years ago. I was adding it up in my head. They gave me some. They were really into copper and finding copper with certain engravings on it. But the teapot I have isn't Paul Revere. It's made from Portugal.
Oh.
So that's I haven't had it 32 years. I don't know, like, anything about it other than that. But these, the mugs, with the, they have copper handles in there. Copper. I'm trying to find them. I don't know. There's only, like, one other box I have them in. But they, I know there was a marking or something that said Powery Bear on them.
I only have one copper pot, and it's a Chester.
I don't know anything about
that. You've never heard of Chester Copper Pot?
Well, I, no. Oh, that is a Disney? Is that
you
Disney?
Need, you need to watch The Goonies.
The Goonies. Oh, from The Goonies.
Yeah, God, Chester Copper Pot.
What year did that come out?
85?
85. Okay, that's awesome. I've seen a little bit of that, but I don't really remember it.
Ah, you'll love it.
But, okay, so, and the thing is, it's like, I totally forgot the rest of the stuff because the conversations have been so crazy this morning. But good, but that woman, that was really nice. And so you are going to take the train, or are you kind of like saying, no, you're
Well, I've got some friends here. My friend is up from Tennessee, so if I can convince them to go with me, they're going to want to drive, so.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. And another thing, the letter, it's not coming into my email. I've been having a problem with my email, and I just managed today to get it back. I had to reset my original email, and all of a sudden I got all this stuff. I'm back, like, but I was deleting stuff. So I'm saying now it's all back again, and I, from like April 7th, last thing was March 26th. So I don't know what's going on with all of that, but I went into junk. I went into spam. So I don't have that letter because I would rather have that than like the email I get from the actual app itself, because when I open that, it's just taking me right to the app. So I might as well just start reading my stories in the app again. And
I mean, if you're not seeing the newsletter, it might be going to your junk box.
No, I checked it. I checked. When did it start going out, Tim?
It goes out every day.
So it's not the stories from the app.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same stories. The stories are on the app or on the website, but it should link you to the website stories. Or maybe it links you to the app because it's, you know, that's what your preferences are set
for. It links me to the app.
Yeah, so yeah, you're still getting the stories.
Yeah, I thought it was like a special newsletter.
Nope, it's all just links.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, like, I guess that's about it.
Well, you have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I get to take a break, but then more with you, 508-996-0500. And that, of course, is Goonies Are Good Enough from the Goonies soundtrack, Cyndi Lauper. And we're going to have tickets to give away soon to Cyndi Lauper, her final show in Boston. She's retiring. So we'll have those coming up in the coming weeks. But also, they're working on a sequel to the Goonies with the original cast returning. And I know how you feel about, like, these legacy sequels, and trust me, the cast of the Goonies feel the same way. Like, they don't want to make a movie together unless it's a good movie. And they finally think they've got something here that they can work with. It's been a long time coming. And now think about this, right? Sean Astin has become a bigger star thanks to Lord of the Rings and all of that, Stranger Things, things like that. Corey Feldman is Corey Feldman. I mean, he's got his music career, I guess. But, you know, he's Corey Feldman. Josh Brolin has become, I think, an Oscar winner now. So he's become a huge star. And, of course, he was Thanos. I mean, this is a guy that's become huge. Ki-Hong Kwan just won an Oscar a couple of years ago. And now he's an action star making action films. And Jeff Cohen, who plays Chunk, he retired from acting and became an entertainment lawyer. In fact, he's the lawyer for many of the other cast members of the Goonies because they've all stayed in touch. So, you know, this is a group that has no reason to really make another movie unless there's a good reason to do it. So that makes me feel like this is probably something that is going to be quality. This is going to be more Top Gun Maverick than it's going to be, I don't know, think of another crappy legacy sequel and compare the two. So there's that. I also asked a question today on a reel we posted up on Facebook and Instagram of what you think about Harvard taking a stand against the Trump administration. They're putting at risk $2.2 billion in federal funding to take a stand about not wanting to have to listen to what the administration says regarding DEI policy, who they can hire, who they can admit, what they can teach. As they're saying, you know, we're a private university. And I think on the surface, you shouldn't have any issue Here comes the Cybertruck. Watch out. The issue could be that schools, universities that want to control their own teaching, as long as they're private and they're saying we're not going to take federal funding, you can't have a problem with that, right? Isn't the issue that you have an issue with federal funding going to schools that are pushing these policies? So even if you are on Donald Trump's side of things, you have to concede, well, hey, if Harvard's going to foot the bill themselves and they're going to find another way to come up with this $2.2 billion, which, spoiler alert, they don't need it. They're just collecting it and throwing it into an account somewhere because they're Harvard. They've got the money that they need. And what's funny is somebody once told me, because I said, I wanted to go to Harvard. And I was like, I don't think I could afford to go to Harvard. And this person who taught at Harvard said to me, nobody pays for Harvard. And I said, what? Like, very few people actually pay the tuition to go to Harvard. The people who get there that are, you know, need blind like you would be are on scholarship. A lot of the people who are legacy, they don't pay anything. They just get admitted and then they never get a tuition bill. The only people that pay for Harvard are the people that really shouldn't have gotten in and whose families the school can't get anything out of. So I don't know, maybe they can't come up with $2.2 billion, but I get a feeling that if they, you know, did an email blast alert to all their alumni and said, you know, we're not going to deal with the Trump administration. We're not going to bow down to their policies. We're going to do things the way we want to do it. Please donate to us to help us with this mission. And they're not going to get $2.2 billion, but they're going to get significant funding raised that way. So it pays for them to be able to stand up. Now, a school like Columbia that backed down and said, we will follow these, maybe they didn't have that same kind of cachet. Maybe they didn't have that same kind of financial cushion to sit on. But this is Harvard we're talking about. I don't think that they're worried from a financial standpoint. And if you need a school to take a stand, you would want what is considered to be the best school in the country to do that. So we've got a lot of comments that are coming in on this reel on WBSM's Facebook page. They can do what they want. They just won't get the money, Trevor says. Yeah, that's exactly true. Megan says, these elite universities get a lot of taxpayer funding. To me, they need to make sure Jewish students or any other group can feel safe on campus. Until then, they should not get any federal money. Well, I'm sure that Harvard wants their Jewish students to feel safe. It is a school that has a large Jewish population. But I think even the Jewish students of Harvard understand that those who are in support of Palestine should have the ability to express that if that's the way that they feel. Again, as long as there isn't any violence or threats happening. That's what makes a college campus great, is it's a place where a bunch of different ideas can come together. And by the way, for everybody that says college professors put wacky ideas into kids' heads, let me tell you, I went to college. The kids come there with the wacky ideas already in the heads. Whether or not the professors just kind of encourage them or, you know, give them other wacky things to think about is a different story. All right, I got to take my final break of this hour. We'll be right back.